Welcome home, neighbors. This is the Miller family.
Tim,
Beth,
Tyler,
and Claire
from O'Fallon, Illinois.
We are new owners at Copper Creek Cabins and Villas at Wilderness Lodge.
You're listening to My DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 18 of the My DVC Points podcast. Have you ever Googled anything about DVC? If you have, chances are really good you've ended up over at dvcinfo.com. I mean, we've all read the articles, the news stories, the research. It's one of the leading sites on DVC and has an incredibly high Google page ranking. Well, we know about the site, but how much do you know about the person who owns that site? In episode 18, I have the privilege and the honor of interviewing Russ Clark from DVC Info, one of the pillars of the DVC community. Russ, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am doing awesome tonight. I'm just excited that you're here and recording this podcast.
Great. Glad to be here.
Russ, you own what, 2-3 resorts?
Right now I own at Saratoga Springs, Polynesian, and Alani.
What's your Disney history like? When did you start coming to the Disney parks?
I think we started coming about 7-8 years ago, and we started out just sort of on a whim, sort of a one-time vacation with some family. They wanted to go, and we came along, and we stayed off-site like, you know, most people typically do, and we leveraged one of our existing timeshares through HGVC, Hilton Grand Vacation Club. So we sort of started out as single folks without kids, traveling a lot to Hawaii, had a lot of frequent flyer points, so went there pretty much every year, and so leveraged those points to stay near Disney Springs, but not on premise. And then sort of over time, exchanged in through RCI. So I discovered you could do that through RCI with our timeshare system. And back then, you could actually get into a lot of the resorts. So we were able to stay at Wilderness Lodge and even Beach Club and Animal Kingdom. So pretty much all the top resorts. And that sort of whetted our appetite for DVC to the point where they stopped doing that. The exchanges sort of dried up and it's just Saratoga now. So, you know, if you want to stay at those resorts, you really have to buy in. And that's where we looked at DVC seriously and ended up with Saratoga just because it's sort of a good universal currency for exchanging at 7 months to other resorts. It's sort of the best value.
Yeah, it's a great network resort.
We still have that flexibility as Saratoga owners. So it's sort of like rolling the dice every time at 7 months. And we know we're going to end up somewhere. That's going to be great. It's just we don't know exactly where. We'll get Beach Club if we can get it. That normally doesn't happen. Bay Lake, the lake views, they're pretty easy to get with a one bedroom. And then if we can't get there, then Animal Kingdom is sort of our go-to resort, the third largest resort. So there's plenty of rooms. We stay in the one-bedroom Savannah, which is probably the most, you know, the easiest to book, just given it's the last to book up.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So you have some difficulty getting a one-bedroom at Beach Club then, it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, Beach Club's for sure probably the hardest resort to get. So, I mean, it's always on our list, but it's very rare that we actually see it for like, and we usually go for like a 9-day trip and we don't like to hop very much. We've tried it. We're more like once we're unpacked, we don't want to repack. We don't want to spend a day in transit and having, you know, not having access to our bags and doing the fire drill in the morning to get out by 11 o'clock and then not getting into the next room by 4. So we always try to book a full 9 days so that we have like a Friday night through a Sunday night, fly down Friday, fly out Sunday, get the maximum benefit of that trip. And it's really hard to get a 9-day contiguous a Beach Club during sort of the prime times that we go and, you know, sort of October break, which is very popular in our geography for the schools here. And then spring break and, you know, the week after Christmas to New Year's.
Yeah, those are definitely prime time. So I could see why you could have a little bit of a difficulty getting that, especially for 9 days. You mentioned owning another timeshare. Was that the Hilton brand that you're in?
Yeah, the Hilton Grand Vacation Club. So we primarily use for the Hawaii resorts on the Big Island.
Okay. Now, is your home resort there in Hawaii or is it elsewhere?
It actually is. We have a couple and they're both there in Big Island, which is where we like to travel the most. It's an interesting system, though. They don't have a home resort advantage like you do at DVC. They have a home week advantage. So you own a specific unit in a specific season. You still can book any time within that season, but it's only that unit. So if you bought a two bedroom, you can only book a two bedroom at 12 months, similar to 11 months at DVC, and anything else is at 9 months. So for them, it's really more about buying the best cost per point because the majority of the owners book at 9 months because they're not booking the exact unit that they bought at the exact season that they bought. So it's a little bit different. We just happen to own the resorts there because they have the best sort of maintenance fees and cost per point at the time that we bought. But you really could own anywhere and book anywhere within that system.
Okay. Now, were those resale or direct?
We bought direct, but it's sort of happenstance. Like, you know, like most people, you buy direct the first time because you don't know any better. We ended up sort of buying into the long-term benefits of the system with discounts on cash rentals and some other benefits like free upgrades to the next unit size, you know, as you accumulate more points. So we have sort of that long-term perspective, which I don't think most owners do. So, I mean, I would not recommend people buy direct with HGVC. It's a lot better value to buy resale.
Got it.
But one of the benefits that we did get from buying direct was a lot of bonus points, which then converted to RCI. So that's where we ended up. We were using those points for their highest and best use, which was to stay at DVC. So our direct purchases at Hilton inadvertently allowed us to book the heck out of DVC. So we more than made our money back on those sort of premium costs, direct purchases.
Yeah. Now, when you bought into DVC, did you know about resale and direct by that point in time?
We always viewed DVC from this timeshare mentality. You know, we knew about timeshares. I was active on TUG, which is sort of the forum for all timeshares, not just Disney or HGVC. And I was researching it just like I was everything else. And I was sort of shocked by the maintenance fees for DVC compared to like the maintenance fees for like owning a week in Hawaii. And it's just one of those things like, wow, you know, this is really expensive. Of course, I've never stayed at Disney before that. I never had felt the cost, you know, I'd never borne the cost of paying, you know, cash rates. So whereas most people compare the maintenance fees for DVC to cash rates, or they just have like a long family history of having always gone to Disney every year. So they're just trying to figure out what's the most cost effective way to do that. For me, it was like I'd never done either. So, you know, I didn't go to Disney as a kid. I didn't pay cash rates prior to staying there. It was more of like, hey, what's this Disney thing all about? Well, if I can exchange into it through RCI, I'll give it a shot and see what it's like. So it was a slow progression to sort of convince myself that those maintenance fees were justified based on the relative cost of staying at Disney direct through cash rates or even rental. And once you sort of get bit by the bug of like, wow, this is a really nice vacation, I really want to do this every year or even multiple times a year, you know, then the cost benefit starts making sense. Then it's like, well, this is half the cost of booking direct or even a quarter of the cost of booking direct. So regardless of whether it's relative to other timeshares, it's a lot more expensive, both to buy in and for the maintenance fees. It's still a good value relatively.
Yeah, because of the Disney experience and staying on property and the buses and the 60-day fast passes and all the benefits of on property.
Yeah, and we experienced that directly. Because I mean, our very first day at Disney was at a Hilton Grand Vacation off property. And so we experienced the difference immediately where it's like you're inside the bubble when you stay at a DVC. You never leave the stage. You're always on stage. There's always, you know, these friendly cast members. There's always these, you know, magical experiences and table service meals that are themed and, you know, the snacks and the merchandise at every turn. That's part of the experience. When you leave, you get in your car, you drive 10 miles off premise and you drive by McDonald's and all the things you have in the real world. Then it's sort of like, oh, yeah, we're no longer on vacation. We're back in our normal life.
Yeah, that makes sense. You kind of leave the bubble. Now, speaking of family, how many people are in your family now?
Five, my wife and I, and then three girls, 1 year, 8 years, and 10 years.
Okay, so it's the five of you now, which makes sense for a one bedroom because there's very few studios that could fit that as well. Now, is your Hilton a studio that you bought for primarily, or is it a one bedroom? Or
They're primarily two bedroom units. At most of their resorts, they do have studios and one bedrooms as well, but probably their sweet spot is at the two bedroom. That was another thing. We were like, hey, we're used to staying in two bedrooms. And now you look at the point charts for Disney and it's like, to stay in a two bedroom is pretty pricey to buy in at that level, you know, to buy enough points to stay there.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the older DVC resorts were developed with leaning towards two bedrooms when you look at the room composition of what they built into the resort. So I think we've seen an interesting shift over the years.
Well, and the majority of those are lock-off, so that makes sense because they sort of, probably with the old Key West, they didn't know what the booking pattern would be. So they're just like, you know, if we build enough, you know, lock-offs, then we can sort of either book them as one bedrooms or book them as studios or book them as two bedrooms. And then over time, I think they've just continued to follow that pattern. They didn't know what the demand would be over time, so they have that flexibility built in.
Yeah, that's the great things about a lock-offs. Russ, what are some of your family's favorite Disney stories and memories?
We spent a lot of time at the pools, and because we exchanged into RCI initially, we actually did them back to back where we do like 2 weeks at a time. So, I mean, I know I'm spoiled because like everyone's like, wow, 2 weeks in those top resorts and you're not even paying the DVC maintenance fees for them. But you know, we just sort of lucked out where our kids were not in school and RCI exchanges weren't very well known at the time. And this was back before they restricted them only to Saratoga. So it's sort of the best of all worlds where we could experience these top resorts for 2 weeks at a time. And, you know, when you're there for 2 weeks, you're obviously not going to the park every day. And so we just sort of learned to relax and enjoy, you know, going to a table service meal for breakfast and then going to the pool for the day. And then, you know, going to a table service meal for dinner at a park or at a resort. And then after dinner, strolling into a park of choice, typically the one that would have extra magic hours in the evening back when they still did that. Now they tend to be more in the morning, which we're not morning people. So we just enjoyed that laid back Disney experience, which was completely antithetical to everything I had heard from friends where they'd go and it was just go, go, go the whole time from rope drop.
Yeah, they're going commando in the parks.
Yeah, that does not sound fun, especially in Florida weather. So, I mean, I came in with that jaded perspective of like, this is going to be terrible and my kids are going to be crying. And because we had that luxury of staying at a resort for 1 or 2 weeks, you know, it was completely opposite of what I expected. It was laid back. You know, you're taking a boat ride to Fort Wilderness. You're taking the monorail to Epcot and you're just doing that on your own pace. And then you're going back to the hotel and going to the pool. So it's really just experiencing the variety of all the resorts and all the table service meals. And some of our favorite things, Hoop-Dee-Doo, is like one thing we do every single trip at Fort Wilderness.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah, it's great food. It's all you can eat. It's all you can drink. And then great entertainment on top of it, which our kids have enjoyed from the time they were, you know, 2 years old until now. You know, our oldest is almost a teenager and we enjoy it as well. So the overall resort there is great. You know, there's horse rides. You know, if you get there early, you can take a wagon ride around the lake, which is another really cool sort of slow paced experience. Sometimes you can see fireworks if you time it right. It's just one of those things you wouldn't think of a Disney experience being taking this rustic horse ride along a lake and seeing fireworks at the end of it. And it's pretty reasonable, too. I think it's like, you know, $5 a person or $8. Maybe it's like $10 now, but, you know, nothing crazy.
It's not going to break the bank.
Yeah, it's a nice little experience. It's just a little side trip that you can do because you're taking your time and you're stopping to smell the roses.
Okay. Now, what led to picking your home resorts? Because I know you said, what, Saratoga, Poly, and Alani?
Yep. So Saratoga was where we bought the majority of our points, and that really came down to value. So looking at the number of years remaining, looking at the annual fees, and comparing those relatively, the back of the napkin math is divide the upfront point or the upfront cost by the number of years remaining. That's sort of your per individual point left on the contract cost, and then add your maintenance fee per point. So, you know, you sort of get at the time around $6 a point, sorry, around $8 a point. Now it's probably a little bit higher, but it's probably more in the $9 a point range for a Saratoga. And you sort of compare that to, well, what does it cost to rent? Which again, at the time was probably $15 a point. Now it's like $18 a point. And it's like, that's your savings. If you didn't own, you'd be paying this. If you do own, you're paying this. And then comparing that across all the resorts, Saratoga usually comes out on top. Bay Lake actually was very, very close just because it was close to 50 years remaining at the time, you know, probably 49 or 48. And there's still some available resale. So those are a very good value. But then they also were double the cost because they had 50 years instead of 35 years at Saratoga. So ultimately, it sort of was a trade-off between the upfront costs and then the value. In retrospect, I sort of kicked myself. I didn't buy the Bay Lake because it was basically the same value, but just a little bit more upfront cost. And we really like staying there. That's probably our top resort. Magic Kingdom folks, and we like the monorail, and Bay Lake fits all the bills. So
yeah, it's great value there. It's the points are reasonable for a Magic Kingdom resort. You get the monorail. I mean, over at Wilderness, it's technically a MK resort as well, but there's no monorail.
Right. So that's sort of where we ended up. Well, we'll try and book Beach Club. We never get it. Sometimes we do. And then we look at Bay Lake, Lakeview, which are pretty easy to book in the one bedroom category. And usually that's about as far as we get. Sometimes we have to go to Animal Kingdom. We love Animal Kingdom. So it's not like it's a good consolation prize. We knew that going in. Like, we bought Saratoga specifically so that we could book at 7 months at other resorts. So we had no plan of staying at Saratoga. It was purely about value. Because we came from a system where points went a little bit farther and annual fees went a little bit farther in terms of unit size and upfront costs and then yearly costs, we were sort of trying to buy in DVC at the absolute best value, because it's difficult to even convince ourselves to do that.
DVC is steep when you start comparing it to other timeshares, that's for sure.
Yeah. But in retrospect, it was the right decision. I mean, we were able to buy a lot more points up front by buying a Saratoga than we would have even buying a Bay Lake that had the same value, just because it had fewer years remaining. So it had lower relative cost to a Bay Lake, even though on a cost per individual point over the life of the contract, it was the same.
You just had to pay more years. So,
right. You're prepaying for more years. It was the right decision because we ended up being able to buy what we thought we would use over the life of our ownership. And that was sort of a bunch of fuzzy math of, well, maybe we'll go 2-3 times a year in a one bedroom now, but then over time we'll shift to a two bedroom, but maybe only twice a year. And then, you know, in the very long run, going back to probably even studios, you know, without kid trips, and then, you know, going back to one bedrooms or two bedrooms as you bring, you know, friends and family. So it is hard to make that math work in all those scenarios, but we try to sort of look at averages across resorts and those various categories and do some back of the napkin math.
Saratoga is your very best bang for your buck that's out there in terms of the cost per point and the maintenance dues on those points. It's very attractive to buy a Saratoga contract and then go ahead and use it at the 7 month mark to go other places. All things being said and done, it gives you an awful lot of value there. Where all have you stayed on DVC points?
We have stayed pretty much everywhere except Copper Creek and Hilton Head, and I believe that is it.
Got it. Now, have you made it out to Grand Cali as well?
Yeah, we did once. That was another sort of Hail Mary at 7 months, where coming up to the 7 month window for our October trip, which we normally do in Disney or Disney World, we saw that I just happened to see that Grand Cali was open for a week. And it's like one of those, like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And so I just stalked the resort availability tool every day, waiting for that window to open up, and it kept being available and it kept being available. The plan was to book a couple days in advance of when we needed the stay. We only needed it for like three, four nights, because we really don't need a full week at Disneyland. And then we're going to go down the coast to some other areas in Carlsbad and whatnot. And then my plan was foiled by somebody else who came in right at the 7 month window where it started to be available. And so every day, you know, one more day would be unavailable, eating into my grand plans. But in the last minute, it opened up. I got on 8 a.m. that day and the clouds parted and I was able to get the nights that we needed. And that turned out to be probably our favorite. Well, one of our favorite resorts, probably the top one or two, just in terms of the resort itself and the rustic feel, the layout, you know, with sort of the pool in the middle and the rooms themselves. I sort of look at it as a cross between like a Grand Floridian and a Wilderness Lodge. It's like very rustic, but it's also very sort of upscale and grand. So we really enjoyed that stay.
Yeah. Now, was that at a one bedroom or a studio or two or?
That was a one bedroom. I think we've only stayed in one bedrooms until recently. So we sort of stuck to our plan when we first bought and we said, okay, we're going to go, you know, 3-4 times a year in a one bedroom. I think around 3 was sort of the target, but we had some odds and ends where, you know, we first bought, we're excited to go down there. So probably went on like a President's Day extended weekend as well.
Got it. Well, the other thing that you have here, I know you mentioned you were fans of Animal Kingdom and Bay Lake, and Grand Cal also has that third bathroom in it as well. I'm just seeing a pattern here in your preferences.
For sure. For the one bedrooms, the Bay Lake and the Animal Kingdom, Kidani, the extra bathroom's a big bonus that you just don't have in the other resorts. For Grand Cali, I don't even think that was a consideration. Honestly, I don't even remember that. we're just excited to get in there. You know, it's so hard to get in. If that's a resort you want to stay at, you really need to own there. It's just a bonus when you can get in at 7 months.
Yeah, and those things go like 8:01 a.m. of booking day.
Let's see. The other resorts that we own are Poly when it went on sale direct. So we actually bought pre-sale there. And by that point, I had sort of come around to the value for the new resorts being about on par with the resale of some of the older resorts. So, and the way that works out is you're buying the full 50 years, sometimes even getting an extra year, you know, depending on when it goes on sale. And then you're also getting at the lowest price that it's ever going to be offered direct. So if you combine those two things, you know, pretty good value because you're getting a loaded contract and only paying the dues on the 1 year, even though you're getting 2 years of points right up front. So I sort of did the Mickey math and said, okay, it's, I think it was 155 or something around there. And then figured, hey, I'm getting this extra year of points. I could rent that out for $15. That brings my buy-in cost to like, actually is 165 and then brings it down to like 155 or 150. And, you know, once you get the incentives and factor in that additional year of points. And sure enough, that's about where we're at right now with resale. So it's like buying in 2 years ago, still got the same value out of a direct purchase as I did if I had waited 2 years and bought resale.
Yeah, that tends to work out. I know anytime you buy direct and can get a loaded contract or buy it before your use year begins and you get last year's points that are even prorated in dues, it tends to work out.
Yeah, and so we bought that with the intent of, we really like the theming of that resort. Having stayed in Hawaii, it's sort of reminiscent of that, you know, tropical resort in Florida, sort of the closest we were going to get within our school schedules. You know, you can't really do a trip to Hawaii within a 1 week window, or at least not that enjoyable. So we sort of said, okay, we're going to buy in at Poly. We're going to stay there once a year for a week at most. You know, it's not going to be every trip, but, you know, we really enjoy the resort. The downside is it's all studios. So we knew having stayed in all one bedrooms that is going to be a squeeze, but it was also the largest studios. So we figured we could do it. The reality is it has been a squeeze. The way they've laid out the rooms, there's a lot of bathroom and not a lot of room. So
my family says the same thing. They're like, they could have at least put a second toilet in here. What were they thinking?
Yeah, and there's a lot of structural walls I'm sure they're dealing with. So, I mean, I understand where they ended up, but at the end of the day, it's a tight squeeze for a family of four, let alone five for a week. So it's turned more into our short stay trips. So if we were going to go for the Labor Day or Memorial Day or President's Day weekend, you know, part of having a discounted DVC annual pass is the ability to go whenever you sort of feel like it. And, you know, those are when the plane tickets are low. So for the short stays, we'll stay at Poly for a couple nights, or like if we're doing a cruise, we'll stay the night before and the night after. And for a night, it's very enjoyable because you still get to experience Poly, you know, the nice resort, the pools, the food, the monorail access. So we get to enjoy all the things we like about it without staying there long enough to sort of get on each other's nerves being cramped in a small room.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you do a lot of 7 month booking, it sounds like, with the Saratoga points. How's the wait list worked out for your family?
Wait list has always been pretty good. I mean, keep in mind, we book one bedroom, so one bedrooms tend to be the last to book up. So we have a much easier time at 7 months than somebody buying Saratoga with the plan to book studios. That said, we've had no problem booking one bedrooms at one of our top four resorts. So, you know, Bay Lake Beach Club, Animal Kingdom, or Wilderness Lodge, you know, sort of the Magic Kingdom resorts, and then throw Beach Club and Animal Kingdom in there. We've even been able to stay at Grand Floridian. And there are times when I'll wait list just because I'll get Animal Kingdom, but I really would like Bay Lake. And in those times, probably like 75-80% of the time, we'll end up getting our wait list. But again, it's for one bedroom. So, I mean, it's usually the one bedroom in the highest point. So one bedroom lake, you know, where there's the most number of rooms, you know, it's very difficult to get something like a standard at Animal Kingdom or Bay Lake, even in the one bedroom category. So we pick our wait lists carefully based on the number of rooms that are available in those categories.
Yeah, and absolutely. Let's do a pitch to your site for that as well, because I think the most helpful page in all of DVC is on your site, and that is your room inventory page.
Yeah, thanks. And for those that haven't seen it, on dvcinfo.com, there's a link to resorts and then the resort inventory. And really, it's just a quick at a glance spreadsheet like view of all the resorts and how many, you know, based on one bedrooms, you know, studios, two bedrooms, grand villas, what are the number of dedicated studios, dedicated one bedrooms, dedicated two bedrooms, and then two bedroom lock offs, and sort of adding all those up, you can figure out, you know, what's the max number of studios that can be booked at a resort in a given category. And that's really helpful for those 7 month plans where you're trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to go after at 7 months? And then if I don't get it, what am I going to wait list? You always want to target the resorts that have the most rooms in the category that you're trying to book.
I'm looking at your site here. We'll walk through this illustration using Boardwalk. Let's say you really wanted to stay at Boardwalk. This is where this data would come in. And I see the standard view has 15 dedicated and 37 lock-offs. So 15 plus 37 is 52 rooms. You follow me? Okay. So now if we come into this and we look at the preferred view over there, we have 74 plus 91. So you have 165 rooms. So by looking at this and saying, I'm going to put my wait list on the preferred view room that has a 1 out of 165 has to open up for my day for my wait list to come through, versus 1 out of 54. My chances of the preferred are going to be much greater. That's how I kind of use the chart.
And the other thing that plays in there is preferred is higher points. And we all know DVC members maximize the use of their points. So they're always going to book the lower point categories first. So you sort of get a double influence there. You're both the most number of rooms. You're also in the highest point rooms. So you're probably most likely going to have those rooms open up.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we can use room inventory. That's just one way. But it also has really great things on here for what's the square footage of the room, how many people does it sleep, what's the bed counts in the room, just all kinds of really great helpful stuff when you start to come in and start planning your vacations.
Yeah, and another similar feature is on our community forums, there's a resources tab. And one of the top resources there is the DVC point chart spreadsheet. So basically, I have all of the point charts for all the Walt Disney World resorts stacked side by side, sort of left to right from lowest to highest, and then sort of top to bottom from studios to grand villas, and then broken out by season. And then they're also color coded in Excel so that you can sort of see the highest to lowest go from red to green. And so it's a good way to sort of look at, you know, that other aspect. So there's the number of rooms, which this shows, but then there's also how many points is it going to take. And as I mentioned, sometimes the higher point rooms are the easier to book at 7 months just because people always want to maximize the value. And in that spreadsheet, you can also hover over each point in a point chart and see the same descriptions that you can see here as far as the number of baths, the number of beds, you know, whether it's a full sleeper or a king bed or a queen bed. So that same information is in both places.
Yeah, and that's just really, really helpful for vacation planning. And like you said, point stretching, point stretching, point stretching. I know my wife is a Savannah View person. She just absolutely loves them. And I keep coming in and saying, okay, if we're going to go Animal Kingdom, let's at least go this and go stand on the common balcony. Okay, you don't need your own dedicated. We can shave 60, 70 points here. And I always end up losing that argument, by the way.
But I mean, being booking at 7 months, I actually prefer the Savannah because it's always available, because for the same reasons, there's the most number of Savannah rooms compared to a standard room. There's also the highest points. And because of those two reasons, they're the last to book. So it's like we are always going to the Savannah view just because it's always available at 7 months. Like I've never not seen Animal Kingdom one bedroom Savannah at 7 months in any period that we've had to go. So it's always our go-to resort if we can't get a beach club or a Bay Lake or even Wilderness Lodge, you know, then we can always go to Animal Kingdom, which makes sense. It's the third largest resort after Old Key West and Saratoga.
Yeah, and the third to sell out as well. Yeah, Animal Kingdom's a great option for that 7 month switch. If you can't get to someplace else you'd rather be, I still think it's a great option. I mean, I'll take a Saratoga if I have to, but and sometimes for last minute trips, that's all that is available.
Yeah, and we've never had to. That said, we've voluntarily stayed at Saratoga. So we like Saratoga. It's got some nice pools. It's got, you know, proximity to Disney Springs. So there's nothing knocking it, but we just prefer those MK resorts or the Epcot resorts. And then if we can't do one of those, then Animal Kingdoms are sort of third rung where it's like, it's still a nicer resort than any of the MK and Epcot resorts, but, you know, transportation challenge. So when we do have to stay there, we enjoy it because it's such a nice resort, but then it's not our top choice just because we'd rather be right next to a resort, next to a park where we can walk on or walk in to one of the parks.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's so far, it has been my least favorite, but it's not like it's an unenjoyable experience. Have you guys used your points to do anything like cruises, or did you ever go take a Disney Vacation Club point and go back to RCI with it?
We haven't. I do book a lot through RCI, but with our Hilton points, just because it's better value. I think with Disney, you want to use your points for the highest and best value, which is going to be booking a DVC resort. There are a lot of good values in RCI, and a lot of them actually are the Hilton Grand Vacation Club resorts, which Disney Vacation Club members get exclusive access to inventory at through what's called RCI Select, which typically in other timeshare systems is only given to like the top tier direct buyers. But in Disney, it's given to everyone just to entice people into the RCI system. And RCI does a lot of stuff like that, where they'll waive the fees and they'll give you access to their premier resorts exclusive to DVC. So there's a lot of good values. Just for an example, if you're going to Oahu and you're staying at Alani, I would actually recommend splitting your stay and staying downtown at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, which you could stay for 150 points in peak season for a one bedroom with an ocean view. So, you know, if you start looking at the point chart at Alani, that's a pretty good value to get would book out cash for the same rate. You know, 150 points for a week in a one bedroom with an ocean view is not that bad.
No, does that sleep five?
The one bedrooms, I think, sleep four at Hilton. But you can also exchange into the two bedrooms, but then you're basically doubling the points. So it's very similar. I'm not sure the exact exchange rate there. But that's just an example. And the reason I'd recommend that is the base, having Waikiki as your base at Oahu makes a lot more sense because a lot of the nice beaches are on the east side. The one negative of Alani is it's like way out there on the west side. So there's not a lot of, you know, resort dining and sort of family-friendly beaches that are safe to swim at. There is the lagoon that is man-made right there at Alani. But, you know, beyond that, if you want to go to the Primo beaches, you're driving, you know, 2.5 hours through Honolulu traffic to get to the east side. And then a lot of the other things like Diamond Head and snorkeling and Pearl Harbor also closer to Waikiki. I always recommend stay at least 2 weeks in Hawaii if you're going to make the big trip there. So the perfect trip would be stay a week at Alani, stay a week at Waikiki, which is a little more central, or stay at another island, which if you're staying at another island, obviously there is no Disney resort, so you're going to have to exchange into something. Big Island's probably our favorite, and they also have a nice Hilton there. So actually they have like four or five. So that would be another exchange opportunity. That same 150 points could get you a week at Waikoloa Village on the Big Island, which is part of the Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort, which is a great resort.
On par with Disney? I mean, I've never stayed there, so I just have to ask.
It's different. I mean, Hilton Waikoloa Village has, you know, they have like a dolphin experience. They have paddle boats, canoes. They have a super pool with a water slide. You know, they have a walking bridge over the pool. So, I mean, there's a lot of sort of neat features that are more sort of catering to the family-friendly environment, but it's not a Disney theming. So, I mean, it's definitely different, but it does have a lot of that family-friendly elements. They have like a monorail. Well, it's not a monorail. It's a light rail. It sort of looks like a monorail that goes from one end of the resort to the other. They also have boats that will take you from one end of the resort to the other by boat if you'd rather do that. They have like a museum walkway. So just the resort itself, you know, has a lot of that going on, which is sort of Disney-esque, you know, to have all that, those amenities.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's on par to me because I'm just thinking of like fit, finish, and upkeep and...
Yeah, fit and finish for sure. So, I mean, that was one of the things. That's what we like about Hilton is you're getting that quality. You know, you come in and everything's top notch, the fit and finish of the rooms. And that's why we bought in the first place. We were staying at Hilton Waikoloa Village. We went and looked at the condos and we're like, wow, this is like twice the space of a hotel room. And it's got, you know, all these nice paintings and stainless steel and this huge lanai and nice views. We had a very high bar coming into DVC, and you know it was met by the DVC resorts. So I really do put them pretty much on par. The rest of RCI is a little bit spottier. So like exchanging into an HGVC is a no-brainer if there isn't a resort, you know, where you're staying, like on the Big Island for Disney. Just sort of blindly staying at an RCI resort is really rolling the dice. There's some good ones. There's some bad ones. You really got to do your research, look at TripAdvisor, and look at all the ratings and see what other folks are saying.
Yeah, I feel like I could bring you back for just a whole show on just RCI exchanges because you've kind of got the benefit of having both sides of it. You really understand the DVC side and where we're coming from, but you also understand the RCI side. So we need to have you back for just a RCI conversion show.
Yeah. And we're in some, just to give a couple quick examples. So where we've used RCI is like Washington, D.C. So, you know, that's sort of, it's on everyone's bucket list. They want to get to Washington, D.C. at some point and see the White House and see the Cherry Festival if you time it right and a lot of other things. So that's one where in National Harbor, there's a really nice Wyndham. And National Harbor is where Disney actually planned on building a DVC at one point, and then they ended up selling the land when they sort of decided no more offsite resorts after their experience with Hilton Head and Vero Beach. So, I mean, but it was an area that Disney had handpicked, and so it is a family-friendly area. It has a lot of amenities, has a nice Ferris wheel, lots of shopping, lots of food. So we stayed there. The other area that we've been is Sanibel. You know, a lot of the beach areas, so like Sanibel, Hilton Head, Myrtle Beach, all those have HGVC. They also have a lot of other nice exchange options.
Very nice. Well, we definitely have to come back in and look at that, because I've had a couple of people and listeners request, hey, what about a show on RCI? We hear about it. We just don't know anything about it. And we don't want to venture out of our Disney bubble. So I think having these conversations could help us explore a little, venture a little.
Yeah. And one thing just to mention, you know, we can save it for that show, but, you know, it is vastly different. So RCI, basically, when somebody decides to exchange out of their resort into another resort, they deposit their week into RCI. And until that happens, that week didn't exist. The way it works is you have to put in an ongoing search request and basically say, okay, during this time period, I want to search for these resorts. And if somebody just happens to deposit a resort during that time period, then I'll be automatically book it. And so it's not something you can just go out there and look and find inventory, especially for the top resorts, because they've already been matched and somebody already booked them. So you can do that ongoing search up to 2 years in advance, and it behooves you to do that because the longer your search is running, the higher priority you get. So if you know, I want to go to Washington, D.C. sometime in the next 2 years, you know, create that ongoing search now, you know, do your research now of what the top resorts are there. And I could, you know, just rattle them off the top of my head, but it takes a while to figure that out. And then you may not get that match for 6, 12, you know, 18 months, but then when that finally gets deposited, it's going to match. And you have a 24-hour cancellation window, so if you get a match and you don't want it, you can always throw it back. But it's really a different mindset. You have to have that sort of long, super long-term planning of, like, where are all the possible places I'd want to stay in the next 2 years and put those searches in now.
So that being said and done, would I have to deposit my Disney points into RCI first and then set my search up?
No, you don't. So it doesn't actually pull your points until it matches, and then it'll pull them at that point. You do have the option to deposit your points, but that's more of a last ditch effort where you've already banked your points for 1 year and either passed your booking banking window or you just can't bank anymore. You do have the option to deposit those into RCI for an additional 2 calendar years. So the way that would work is if you did that right now, it's 2 full calendar years. So you'd have them through the end of 2021 if you did it right now in February of 2019.
Oh, wow. So you can actually, if you did it in January, you could get almost 3 years out of it, sounds like.
Yeah. And they even have the ability to extend the points. So for $100 a year, you can extend the points indefinitely. So you just keep paying them $100 and you could keep those points around as long as you want. And that's for all of your points. So whether you had, you know, 100 points or 1,000 points, it's still $100 to extend them.
Very good. Very good. We've definitely got to dive back into that one. You're just a wealth of information, and well, that's why you're dvcinfo.com, I guess, right?
Yeah, and in fairness, I learned all these tricks back when we, for the 10 years before we bought DVC. So, I mean, back then, my only options were stay at Hilton or use RCI. So, and given we had a lot of those bonus points from buying direct, it was use RCI. And that's actually how I found out about DVC. I was just searching one day and a bunch of DVC resorts popped up and said to the wife, like, hey, we could go to Disney without having to pay for any hotels. You know, we could just like book this today and go and whenever it's available. And since the kids weren't in school, that's exactly what we did. Basically every time a Disney resort that we wanted popped up in an ongoing search, it's like, hey, you want to go to Disney? It's like, okay, let's go.
Since joining DVC, how has your vacations changed?
We've just gone, I think, more often. So like I just described, we used to go whenever RCI ongoing search match would happen. Once we bought in, one of the big benefits was the gold annual pass, buying an annual pass at a significant discount. You know, I think now it's up to like $300 a person savings per year. So it's very easy to cost justify that. Even nowadays where you have to buy 75 points direct, if you're saving $300 a person, that's $1,200 a year for a family of four. So you can quickly make up the difference of direct versus resale for those 75 points. So, I mean, that sort of encourages you to go more often. So once you have that annual pass in your back pocket, then it's like, you know, I only planned on going twice a year, but hey, maybe we could go for President's Day or Memorial Day or Labor Day, or maybe we can sneak down the day after Christmas, or maybe, you know, the first week of January if the kids get 2 weeks off. So we've ended up doing a lot more of those. So we went from going probably once a year for 2 weeks to now probably when we first started with DVC, probably three or four times a year. I think we've now sort of backed off to where we're doing a lot other trips, you know, so we're still trying to sneak back to Hawaii and, you know, do those Myrtle Beach and Hilton Head and Sanibel trips on sort of alternate October breaks. We're probably now back to two or three times, probably more around two. It definitely increased the number of times that we went.
Gotcha. Now, here's a fun question that I've added and I forget to ask sometime. If Tinkerbell were to come in and spread some pixie dust over your DVC account and you had 2,000 extra one-time use points that you could use for any resort, anything that you can book a point for in DVC with 100% guaranteed availability, and you can combine these with your own points, what would you use these points on?
I would say Grand Californian, just one of those. We really enjoyed the experience there. And it's almost that same transition of like going to Disneyland for just a day versus being there for a week. I could totally see it being a really relaxing resort to stay at. Unfortunately, we just experienced it for three or four nights. So I'd love to stay there for a longer duration. It's just not feasible to book it for that length of stay.
Yeah, I've got a week coming up next month, the 30th, I check in there. So I'll let you know how a week at Grand Cal goes. So I'll have to give you and the listeners an update on that.
It's a whole different world at Disneyland. We sort of approach it as a tourist of like, you've never been here before. And so it's that morning, it's that rope drop to close sort of mentality of we're going to cover this in 2 days or 3 days, and then we're going to be done. So there is a lot more to it. I mean, there's a lot of nice restaurants there. The resort itself has a lot. Would have loved to stay at the pool for an entire day, but we only stayed there for a couple hours before we ran off to the park. I can definitely see it being relaxing.
Yeah, we're going to hit everything there. And our take on it was we've done so many split stays over in Walt Disney World to just get the experience staying everywhere for podcast reasons and being able to talk intelligently about the resorts, that when my wife had the opportunity to get 7 days straight with no split stay or no moving off properties, she was like, yep, I've earned this. And I went, yeah, you have. time to make mama happy.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the split stays. We did the exact same thing. When we first started staying at DVC, we were the same way. We're like, not for podcast reasons, but we just wanted to experience all the resorts that we hadn't experienced yet. So we always try to do a split stay, which made it a lot easier to book at 7 months as well, if you have that flexibility. But over time, we've just learned, yeah, I'd rather take, you know, an Animal Kingdom for a week than try and book a split stay at our top two resorts. It's a lot less stressful not have to pack up in the middle of the week and sort of lose a day at the resort. So I'm with you. I like to hunker down and stay at the resort for a week.
Yeah, my wife has to take more of the load on that one because she packs up all the kids and gets all the kids ready. She makes a very good point. I just have to take care of me in that situation. But still, I think our summer trip this year, we're doing a split stay between Beach Club and Bay Lake. The story there is it's a big family gathering at Beach Club. And so we've got a 2-bedroom and a studio to fit everybody in. And then after they leave, just my immediate family's heading over to Bay Lake.
Yeah, and that's a really good split stay because you got your direct access to Epcot and then your direct access to Magic Kingdom. So I see the logic on that one and I can't argue with that.
We're looking forward to that one. What advice would you give to new members or prospective members, people on the outside of DVC today that are listening in on this podcast?
I mean, one thing sort of echoes my experience is just having that flexibility to book is, I think, a good experience for folks. I think a lot of people say, you know, I stayed at Beach Club once and I really enjoyed it. So I'm just going to buy a Beach Club no matter what. Like that's where I have to buy. And that's sort of, you're going to end up being able to buy less points and be able to go to Disney fewer times by being locked into that one resort. It has, you know, fewer years remaining in the contract. It's more expensive up front, has higher maintenance fees. So there's a lot of cons to that sort of approach. So I'd say approach it as, you know, more flexibility or as much flexibility as you can. Not to ding anyone that buys a Beach Club, because for those folks, that's the best value. You know, if that's where they love and that's where they want to stay, owning there is their best value. We've also just enjoyed being able to experience every resort. We love almost all of them. There's some that we love a little bit less, but for the most part, you know, we're happy wherever we can stay. So, and I think that's helpful to have that framework as you're approaching it as a new owner, because there's two traps that you can fall in. One is buying at the resort that's currently for sale as a direct purchase. And so I see a lot of people fall into that trap of they learned about DVC through a direct purchase presentation. And that was sort of the path they were led down. And I always back up and say, well, before you ask yourself, is Copper Creek a good value versus resale? It's like, where do you want to stay? Because if it's not Copper Creek, then you can sort of take that off the table. It's like, you really got to want to stay at Copper Creek for that to be a good value. And so that's one trap I see. And then the other trap is sort of only having that one resort in mind where you want to buy resale versus looking at the value and asking yourself, is my needs going to change over time? Like, am I really going to want to stay at Beach Club for the next 25 years? Or will I want to, you know, experience other resorts, in which case the 7-month window probably doesn't really matter?
Yeah, it comes into value questions, right? It's to your own self be true is the way I look at it. And if you just have to have Beach Club and you need to have your toes in the sand, I get it. Buy Beach Club. If you're more value conscious and you're willing to take the chance and be flexible, well, there's value ones out there as well. It really just depends on what your values are and what you want.
Yeah. And it depends too on what you're booking. So if you're booking studios, then where you own is a heck of a lot more important. You're still going to be able to probably end up at Animal Kingdom. Unless you're not booking at 7 months, I don't think you'll end up at a Saratoga involuntarily. You really have to be booking inside 7 months to sort of have that sort of shortage. You know, another question I ask folks a lot is, are you willing to plan 7 months out? Because if you're not willing to plan 7 months out, it doesn't matter where you buy. You're not going to be happy with DVC because you're always going to be booking Saratoga. So unless that's where you want to stay, buying at a Beach Club and then booking at 6 months isn't going to work for you because you're not going to have the availability you want when you want it.
Yeah, and that's funny because I just started becoming friends with a listener who bought into a really expensive resort and didn't realize that they were 3-month bookers. And I'm going, well, you paid for this high-end resort, and now you're over at Saratoga all the time.
Yeah, and for some folks, it's just, you know, the nature of their job or just their personality. They just don't plan vacations out. You know, they're not planners. They're seat of the pants. Hey, I want to go somewhere. I want to go now. I want to go next month. And that's fine. It's just timeshares are antithetical to that. And I'm, you know, everything I've described sort of reinforces that. 2-year planning for RCI, stalking the resort availability tool, coming up to 7 months and having a game plan of, okay, these are my top 4 resorts and categories that I'm going to go for. And here's my contingency plan if those aren't available. Yeah, that's the super planner that enjoys that sort of thing. So if you're not a planner like that, buying where you want to stay is your best bet because you can book it 11 months and have that thing in the bank ready to go. No stress at 7 months. On the flip side, if you're not an 11-month planner and you're a 3-month planner, you're sort of out of luck. You know, there's really, DVC is probably not for you. Probably booking cash at a discount with an annual pass is probably your best bet.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and wrap this up, Russ. How can people find you or get in contact with you?
DVCinfo.com is my website, and we also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/DVCinfoCenter, and we're also a sponsor of a Facebook group that is DVC-Disney Vacation Club is the name of the group.
Perfect. So, and I know you've got a great set of forums over there as well, over at DVC Info, and very organized, very searchable. Give a plug that over there. I know your username there is @Russ and mine is @Chad. You can find us both there as well because I pop over to your forums quite a bit.
We have the Facebook page for sort of news announcements. So, if folks follow us out there, they can get sort of some of the links to the Moonlight Magic and any news, that's relevant to the DVC community, like declarations of points for Copper Creek or new resort announcements, things like that. All of those news link you to a page on our forum. So we also are hosting those articles or abstracts of those articles on our forum. And then we have sort of in-depth conversations. So rather than the sort of drive-by conversation on the Facebook page, we sort of have in-depth conversations with members of our community. And those are really interesting because you got a lot of experts out there that have been DVC members for a long time, have some, diverse perspectives. You also have a lot of new members. So it's sort of fun to sort of have those ongoing conversations, not just the quick sound bites that you get on Facebook groups.
Yeah. And, it's also searchable. That's Facebook is kind of hard to search, and it's kind of hard to see detailed threaded conversations. And you really truly get that over in a forum.
Yeah, it's really there for the, you know, more of the expert audience, which is sort of two sides. It's the analytical folks that are doing the research, but it's also the folks that are sort of really following this closely as far as, you know, they enjoy their ownership. They want to maximize the value out of it. They want to get much information as they can about new resorts, about changes in the system, you know, things like the point changes that we just experienced and then the retraction of those. You know, we'll have very long ongoing conversations around things like that.
Very true. Thank you for joining us today, Russ, and we look forward to seeing you over at DVC Info.
Great. Look forward to seeing you there.
Well, that puts another great episode in the books. Russ and I have continued our conversations, and it looks like he's going to be joining us for some Monday Night Lives. You can go to facebook.com/mydvcpoints, like our page to get notified when we go live at about 9 p.m. or shortly thereafter on Monday nights. And we have a great conversation. Sooner or later, we'll probably take one of those episodes live and put it into the podcast feed just to get your thoughts, opinions, and feedback. Speaking of that, I'd like to read a couple of iTunes reviews. Ginger Eras writes, "I'm loving this podcast. I'm a new DVC member, and I found the podcast last week, and I'm hooked. Very easy listening, with relevant material for any DVC owner, new or seasoned. I have heard so many tips, and so far, I'm only halfway done listening to the entire collection of podcasts. Highly recommend. Keep up the great conversations." Well, thanks for listening, Ginger. You're the reason why we produce this show. Another comment was provided by Steelballer. "I've been following Chad's podcast and his page since August of last year. It is so amazing hearing from other members about how they use their membership and how they came to join the DVC family. He has had some amazing members on, and I look forward to every new episode. I even find that I learned things that I didn't know about Disney, DVC, or other topics. My favorite episode thus far was the episode 016, where he interviewed Ella Porter. Keep up the great work and the amazing show, Chad. Thank you for your kind comments. If you'd like to leave us a review on iTunes, that would be great. Other breaking news, we have a new website called dvcswag.com. If you'd like to grab a MyDVC Points t-shirt, you could definitely do so. And we're going to have some other merchandise coming up there very soon. Thank you for listening and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.